That's Horace Silver and his quintet with his own composition, Que Pasa. It's from his 1964 album, Song for My Father. Horace, of course, is on piano, Carmel Jones on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Teddy Smith on bass, and Roger Humphreys on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. We're going to be talking about an observation that I raised a bit before about our president, Donald Trump, and the way he is treating this massive catastrophe, especially in Puerto Rico, with such disdain, such a casual manner. Taking only a few moments from his catalog now of NFL tweets, President Donald Trump finally got around to responding to the massive humanitarian crisis unfolding in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria shredded the island on September the 20th. In an 8:45 p.m. tweet last night, Trump responded to the humanitarian crisis affecting Puerto Rico's 3.4 million people. Quote, "It's an old electrical grid," he said, referring to what was contributing to this crisis. "It's an old electrical grid which was in terrible shape, was devastated. Much of the island was destroyed, with billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly must be dealt with. Food, water, and medical are top priorities, and doing well," unquote. Well, the disjointed nature of just those few sentences tells me that the president is operating with a very, very serious problem, grammar and so forth, disjointed meaning. But what comes through very, very clearly here is that the president lacks any empathy. There's no expression of empathy here or concern, just on a human level, for 3.4 million people who are Americans. Instead, he blames, he comes out of the box with a charge, the finger of blame pointed at somebody, I don't know who, and neither does he, actually. He just says it's an old electrical grid which was in terrible shape. Okay. Was devastated. Much of the island was destroyed. I'm sure this is news to everybody, that much of the island was destroyed. He's writing this last night at 8:45, before he takes his meds and goes to his office for a little nap, I guess, to fire off yet another NFL tweet. And then he says, with billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly must be dealt with. So he's not interested really in talking about the human tragedy and the massiveness of it in Puerto Rico. He blames, again, no particular person, but the fact that he factors this into the current situation as a priority. With billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly must be dealt with. Well, you know, Trump ought to know about billions of dollars owed. He went bankrupt 9 times. So he clearly has an understanding about bankruptcy. And even his current businesses are not especially in extremely good health. But to think that at a moment like this, when the concern ought to be about life and about saving lives and about getting people the kind of help that not just that they need, but that they have been clamoring for, the governor of Puerto Rico has been knocking on the federal door. Members of Congress have been knocking on the federal door, saying, do something. People need help. And we have this implacable, and I'm going to say it, racist. I said it, racist president. Turns his head away. He's not going to get to Puerto Rico until next week. That's how much of a priority this is to him and to his administration. These are just Puerto Ricans. I'll get there when I can. There's no need to raise any big fuss. And besides which, one of the reasons they're suffering now is that they're so incompetent. The infrastructure, they let the infrastructure go. So when you have an old grid and you have these ferocious winds, obviously, you're going to lose power. So don't come to me and ask me about restoring power. And don't come to me asking for money, which you would have had if you were responsible in your government. That's on you and your leadership. I, on the other hand, am doing what I can. I've authorized FEMA to do what it does, bring you some blankets and some prepared foods, and to try and help you get through all that water and so forth. But beyond that, who do you really expect to help you? This is not my problem. I'll get there when I get there. He says this to 3.4 million people in the direct aftermath of a tremendous calamity that hit them and that they're still suffering with. And there's more to come because that dam in the northwest is threatening to break. They're already seeing breaks in the dam, which means on top of everything they have been through in the last week alone, there's more to come. Now, I said racist. This is a racist position to take. And he broadcasts it very proudly. It is racist because, number one, as I said, the island is Puerto Rico. Puerto Ricans live there. And you can hear in this missive that he tweeted, you can hear the tremendous disdain that he has. He doesn't even regard them as Americans. If they are Americans, they are third-rate and fourth-rate Americans. They are totally dispensable. Besides which, they probably are mostly Democrats anyway. Even though they don't vote for president, they're not allowed. That's another issue about the curtailing of rights when it comes to Puerto Rico. But we have to check this guy on this. We can't have somebody behaving like this and get away with it. You are going to say publicly and without fear of reprisal or retribution, essentially, there's nothing you are prepared to do to help. You sent FEMA, and the word you got back is everything is fine. Well, of course, you haven't been on the ground, so you don't know if everything is fine. And in any event, that's where you ought to be. This is the country that you are leading. Everybody has some degree of sympathy here that such incredible damage was done, creating all kinds of problems, and in the future will create even more. So you get a failing grade, Mr. President. You have no idea how to lead. You don't have the capacity for emotional involvement to know that this is the time when you should shine. We would even forgive you your stupidity. We'll set that aside. And we are looking for you to step forward as a leader. And this is an island of 3.4 million people. If only, let's just say, for the raw business of publicity and for, to make points politically. Common sense. Your own common sense and the common sense of those around you should have led you to respond differently. Your wonderful, compassionate daughter. Who cares so much about children. And equal rights. Hasn't said a word. There is nobody really in your administration that reflects a feeling other than the type that you have, callous, uncaring, and racist. The fact that you can't see this as a major problem tells us all we need to know about you. And oh, how Puerto Rico is in debt. What the hell does that have to do with the fact that you have people literally starving? looking for clean, drinkable water, barely having something to put over their heads to sleep at night. And all of this came at them in a flash. They couldn't escape. Where were they going to go? Maybe you extended an invitation for them to join you at the nearest Trump Tower or the Trump Hotel. If you have not responded like people should respond when they are a head of state, we have no use for you. No use for you. It is outrageous. You and your whole cabinet. Yes, one or two came because they have the portfolio and they should come around and see what's up. They've done that. But that's it. We don't see American ingenuity at work here. We don't see the can-do attitude at work here. We don't see, let's make this is priority number one. He says priority number one is to clean up your debts. You're dying, and he's telling you clean up your debts. They should have said the same thing to you, Donald Trump, when you and your businesses were sinking. And you had to reach out to the Russians to help you. You went bankrupt 9 times. So much for your business prowess and your entitlement to wag a finger at anybody else. And in any event, you don't even offer the benefit of your experience in bankruptcy to a state, basically. You don't step in with all of your great negotiation skills and help that governor negotiate whatever it is he met there as debt. No, I reported on this. The real estate people were there in the court. The bankers were there in the court trying to carve up this island, get rid of the people on it, which is why they're so grateful for this hurricane. It would encourage the people to leave. They don't care where they go. Just leave. We will take this beaten up island and we will transform it. We would even put a Trump Tower on this island and make it good again. Make Puerto Rico good again. You haven't stepped forward as a leader to say, okay, we are convening a meeting here so we could figure out how we can help Puerto Rico out of the problems that it's in. As if Puerto Rico just decided to get into debt. What caused the debt? And if even you have debt, there is no state that is without debt. None. No country is without debt. Look at what you did to the United States. You're there just for 9 months and you've already racked up incredible debts for the citizens of this country to pay. It incurring debts so that you can start more wars and buy more bombs and build more battleships. You have incurred billions of dollars in debt already. I didn't hear you crying about that. If you were a leader, you would lend your expertise to Governor Rosselló. And you call him up and say, hey, what's going on? Let's have a meeting and see what we can do here. You're the great negotiator. You're the best negotiator of all times. You didn't offer a bit of help. Call the banks, call the real estate people, call everybody who is carving up Puerto Rico and say, this too is how you save Puerto Rico. Help it get out of debt. Help it get out of debt. You've been there 9 times. You know things. Share the knowledge. It would have been a fantastic thing to do. But of course, you're so mean. You're so evil. You're so greedy. And you're so racist. You wouldn't do it. You would never do something like that. And yet, I see that as the perfect role for you as a leader. You have great experience in the area of bankruptcy and debt. Bring that to bear and help Puerto Rico out. That's right. Since you're so knowledgeable, but you prefer to broadcast it to the world and to do it in such a way as to insinuate that Puerto Ricans just can't handle cash. They can't handle a business. They can't handle administrations. They can't handle this kind of thing. They're not suited for it, but you are. You're suited for it. And I don't disagree. Your vast experience with bankruptcy is something that should be put on the table as a gift, as help. I've been there a lot of times. Let's get together with the banks and whatever it is, and I'm the greatest negotiator in the world. It would never occur to you to do that. But you turn to Twitter, which probably is your only friend, and in the middle of a major catastrophe, the last thing you are concerned about is how are people doing out there? What kind of help is needed now? Are we doing what we are supposed to be doing? Do we need more help? This is what I mean about the irony of America. We have had Hurricane Harvey. Did much damage in Texas, in Houston. Do you know those people are still waist deep in water and mud? And you call yourself a president. And all the things that America can do, you can't get people out of the mud. And how long has it been? And those million plus vehicles that were bobbing up and down in the water, and the loss of jobs, it hasn't even occurred to you that this is a major emergency. You and your Manolo Blahnik wearing wife, you visit, you look at the issue from afar, and you say, okay, 10 minutes, that's enough, we're out of here. Not a word has been said since about what the expectations are for getting that city back up and running at your direction and under your auspices. You have no answers, Mr. President. And you sit in your ivory tower and you point your stubby fingers where the problem is not. The problem is not Puerto Ricans. The problem is that this damn government repeatedly has let them down, refuses to take responsibility for leading a country. No, in your head, these United States are united, except for Puerto Rico. It's a tag-along. It's a tag-along island. So we don't have to be concerned about Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans. We don't like them anyway. They, in your head, are the same as Mexicans, the same as Peruvians, the same as any foreigner in this country. They are Americans, Mr. President. And you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be embarrassed about how you are handling things. Just like Katrina. Just like Katrina. George W. Bush saw Katrina from an airplane. Saw the devastation of Katrina from an airplane window. And it was months and months before life returned to anything resembling normal. And even now, the vestiges of Katrina are still there. Still there. You know, we have to get a bit more robust in saying exactly what a thing is. Let's not pretend. It's okay if in your heart of hearts you don't like Puerto Ricans. If that's what you feel, that's what you feel. But don't pretend that you do. Because there's a whole bunch of evidence that says you don't. And here is one moment. Talk about a teachable moment. It taught us, citizens of this country, a lot about you. You are a fake president. How's that? A real president will roll up his sleeves, even if he's germophobic. He'd be there. He'd wear an extra pair of gloves. And he would be on site, and his people would be on site, and people should see him on site, intimately involved in getting their lives back on track. You're going to stand there with your sanctimonious self and say that, well, they have all these debts. So do you. You don't mean to think that people should believe that all of your businesses are solvent. You don't think that we should believe that. You have debts too, and you have incurred billions of dollars in debt without asking us what we think about it. Without asking us whether we agree to pay it. Have some nerve. Well, they have had debts. Okay. Since that's the American way, don't you know? Everybody has debts. And you ought to know, as I said, because you have had debts that you couldn't pay in your own personal life and in your business life. So don't try that. It's low. It's very low. It's racist. If you didn't know, I'm telling you, it is racist. And it is unconscionable that these many days from these disasters that have hit U.S. territories, you are decidedly absent and unconcerned and uninvolved in the tragedies that people are dealing with. But let's look at Florida. Florida got hit. Absolutely. Hurricane Harvey hit us too. And look, things look pretty much on their way back to normal. So how is it, Mr. President, you can respond to Florida, you know, especially close to your Mar-a-Lago, Florida? How is it that we can see swift movement toward restoration in the Florida Keys? Do you know, Mr. President, I'm reporting because this is news you would like to hear. The Florida Keys is just weeks away from the boaters and so forth. Weeks away from full operation. Now, isn't that great? Of course, one would pay attention to the complexions there, different complexion in Puerto Rico, a different response. Harvey tore this place up. It tore Florida up. They are weeks away from full operation. Were they in debt? Insurmountable debt? That the only way to deal with these tragedies is to leave them alone because they caused a lot of debt and you're going to punish them for the debt that they have by refusing to help? No. No. At one point, it looked like soldiers were the population of South Florida. They were everywhere, doing everything possible to help people. The command came from on high that this is a priority. You see? weeks away from being fully operational. Of course, they have all kinds of things still to do. But it is minor. The vast majority of the tragedies suffered have been taken care of. Here we have a situation where answers should be demanded of this president. And Puerto Ricans especially should never forget this. Never forget this. Because when the leader exhibits this kind of Neanderthal behavior, when the leader of a country exhibits absolute lack of compassion, would clearly rather not be involved. Clearly in his mind, his position is, solve your damn problems yourself. I'm finished with this. I'm on to the NFL. It's far more exciting. I like the ratings I'm getting. I like the attention I'm getting and the fracas that I'm causing. Oh, that is far more attractive to me. So don't come to me with your demand for electricity and your demand for food and your demand for clear roads and your demand for drinking water and what's going to happen to our jobs. Don't come to me with these things. Not interested. I will, hopefully, if the weather is nice, I will come to see you next week, for which you ought to be absolutely grateful that I took time to come and see you. But beyond that, I have no real involvement in your tragedy and drama. I don't trust your governor's ability to govern or any of your representatives to help govern. I don't trust it because you don't have it in you to be self-governing people. You're way down the ladder on that score. I like successful people. If you were successful, you would have known how to deal with this hurricane. You would have known exactly what to do to lessen the damage. You didn't do anything. You know, the more you think about the implication of what he's doing and what he's not saying but saying by his actions, you see how appropriate it is, how natural it is for people like Colin Kaepernick and all those people who came before. It's the same fight. We should all be kneeling all over the place in the state legislatures and Congress. We should be kneeling all over the place. It's the same fight. No respect, no consideration. And it is racism. This is what we have to understand. This is what it is. There's no small matter here. And we have to band together and say, this is not supposed to happen, while I have something, breath or muscle, that I could do something and contribute to correcting this. The president is a foul man. Foul. And it is up to us to correct that. I'm not interested in rehabilitating Donald Trump. He is irredeemable as far as I'm concerned. I'm interested in getting the people the help they need and are entitled to as Americans. He does not look like he's capable of doing that job. We should accept that Let him know that we accept him as that and move on. Where we can get help, we take it. And we understand this whole political structure that would literally put your life in jeopardy to maintain white supremacy in this country. Your life is on the line. And I say we should fight. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, we're talking about this foul president of ours daring to wag a finger of blame at the people who are suffering so terribly in Puerto Rico, insinuating that their lack of controls and their inefficiency in running their government basically have put them at risk now. If they had run the government properly, they would not have been in debt. And how debt relates to a storm, a hurricane, I have no idea how he makes the analogy here. I have no idea how he does that. But he does that. Because his mind is addled. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. How are you today?
Okay. How are you doing?
Yeah, I know you're okay as much as I'm okay and everybody else is okay. But we can say, you know, Donald Trump is not the everything. You know, he's just a person they put in a position. And he takes the blame, just like Hillary and Bill takes the blame. They did a dress rehearsal down here in Florida, how long it take to evacuate the whole state with Hurricane Irma. Harvey hit Texas. Irma hit Florida, and Maria destroyed Puerto Rico. These all happened in a row. It's total calamity. Two months ago or so, you asked... You said your neighbor was considering taking his mother from Puerto Rico and bringing her to the States, and you wanted to know our opinion. And I called and I said I thought it was a good idea because eventually Puerto Rico is going to be completely covered by water. And you said, oh, yeah, that's the global warming thing or something. But whether it's global warming or terrible hurricanes, doesn't really matter. We can focus all our attention on Trump, but he's bought and sold, and he's nothing. Why would he want to be president?
Well, the point is, I'm not concerned in this situation. That is not the concern right now. The concern is that this president has done nothing and has made it clear that he is not enthusiastic about responding to this clear disaster the way he would respond to this clear disaster in any other part of the country. It's a racist response. We ought to call him out on it. And we ought to make sure that we stand with the people. We help in ways that we can. And the best way that we can do this is to join with them putting pressure on the legislatures, the Congress, wherever that the pressure needs to be applied, and let's see if we can make a difference in outcome, because as we see, the plan is already there on the board, you know, which is, you know, it used to be called benign neglect. Let's not have that happen to Puerto Rico. Thanks, E, for calling. Khalil from Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatriz. How are you today?
Okay. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. You know, this is really, I'm trying not to be agitated because people, I think, casually, people who don't have to experience racism, it's just esoteric. It's not real. It's academic because they don't live it. And the problem is that it's not just on one person. You know, in other words, it's not just these micro incidents or, you know, heavy-handed incidents at work. Now, you're talking about institutional racism. And what happens is that when you get people who are ignorant, who don't, and plus they, who have mental illness, let's just be frank, and mental illness, maybe dementia, tertiary syphilis, a bunch of different things. But when you get people like that in charge who are able to exercise racism, because racism requires some different components. Power is one of them. Some people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. That's just how it is. And the fact that this president is not taking this seriously, and he's blinded by his racism. He actually doesn't care. But you see, this callousness, this inability to be contrite, is one of the largest checkboxes that you check for to being a sociopath. And, you know, I've been saying that he's been a sociopath for, you know, a couple of years, ever since he put himself out there. I used to live in New York. Everybody who lives in New York knew this guy was a little nutty and always been racist.
You're the president. You have advisors. Are they all nutty? Are they all racist? There's nobody
maybe.
Say, look, this is really looking bad. We've got to do something, and we have to do something fast. I mean, is everybody in his cabinet similarly afflicted?
Quite possibly. Let's look at this from an academic sense. People feel comfortable around people who they're comfortable around. He has a choice of picking the people. All right, he picked one guy who's very ignorant, doesn't even know what his department does. That would be the Department of Energy, who has or had a ranch called Niggerhead. Listen, you know, so let's start there. Steve Bannon, an avowed, clearly a white supremacist, in the cabinet. That man was in the White House for a number of months. And the fact that alone, you know, some people like to overlook that. There's a price you pay when you overlook certain character flaws. Okay? And most people are not exceptional. I like to use this example. Because this is like a racial IQ test now.
But you're veering off topic, though.
Okay.
I need you on point. With that observation, and they are excellent observations, what could be done now in the situation?
I will tell you right now, and he should know this since he likes to play a soldier. Military ships have different capacities. There should be huge military ships. I don't know the class of ships. I do not know that, but I do know that they have ships that carry certain products and entities. All right, you got a diesel ship, a gasoline ship, potable water ship, another ship for first aid, and for hospitals. You know, there's all kinds of underlying badness with this. This is unprecedented. And I like what you said. First of all, I'm glad you addressed what he said, what Trump said this morning about his statement with Puerto Rico, because it struck me because it reminded me of the World Bank and the IMF, and that's a whole other program. But I agree with you. This is what they have been wanting. This is what they're doing in Haiti, is to try to clear the land. You people go. We want to make this our place now. Okay, that's what they want to do. I believe that. I believe you look at Sandals, these all-inclusive resorts. Because remember, in the United States and maybe across the world, the middle class is shrinking. You have very more and more wealthy people every day and more poor people every day. They'll gladly go to somewhere where they have the whole island. You don't even have to look at us. You know, if you actually work for a living.
Well, I like your idea about these specialty craft that could at least for the meantime pick up the slack, because these services are needed. I heard just yesterday that they're running out of medicine. This is crazy. But thanks for your call. Great ideas. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. Patricia? Okay, everybody.
Hello? 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 Hello?
You hearing? Okay, you're on the air. Okay, we have a connection problem. You're on the air. Hello, Karen?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
No, this is Patricia.
Oh, okay. Patricia, you're on the air.
I think we just got our lines crossed a little bit, but thank you, and I hope all is well, and hope all is well with the PRN family. You know, when people are in an emergency, that is not the time to engage in intellectual exercise and analysis. People need immediate help. And I really don't even want to focus on Trump anymore, because this is an opportunity for the Democratic, Black, and Hispanic leadership to demonstrate some leadership. If nothing else, the Hispanic leadership was very, very silent when the issue with Detroit was going on. And now the African-American leadership has been very silent with Puerto Rico. And what is it going to take for them to understand that they're in the same boat? Exercise some leadership and union. They can call out Trump. They can develop a rescue program. Puerto Rico is Puerto Ricans are American citizens. There are many things that they could do if only they would see that the issue is identical and come together in unison.
I agree with that. That is, in fact, the greatest point to be made about the situation here. We have had such a long history of being separate, as if we live in two different worlds. And it takes a situation like this for us to see the logic in working together on these desperate situations where people need help right now. So thanks for your call.
Thank you, Karen.
Are you there? Okay. We've been trying so hard to find Karen, so we have to move on in the meantime.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. This is Karen.
Okay, Karen. We've been trying to get to you, but you have a very, very, very short time. I'm so sorry to say.
You'll
be the last caller.
I just have one little quick little point to make. I listen to you all the time, but what I wanted to see,
you need to speak directly into the phone because we're getting a lot of echo.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that? Is that better?
A little.
Okay, well, I'm trying to. Well, you asked the question, what could we do now and what should be done? I think in terms of Puerto Rico, we should have done this before Katrina. We needed a serious disaster management team, you know, on go with supplies and resources and people to move when these things happen. And we've got to do that because we refuse to do anything about climate change. So we need to have something like that in place. And they're taxpayers, so there's money. We're all taxpayers, Houston, New Orleans, you know, Florida. There's money there for that. I think that's what we should do, what we should have done, but we definitely should have that in place.
Okay, let's explore that some more at another call because we are out of time. Thank you, Karen. I'm glad that we found you, and I'm glad we found each other today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myth with David Crow. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Tell a friend about this program. Tell a friend about this station and help promote PRN. We'll see each other tomorrow, God willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say. And I thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.